Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Americans, Savage Americans, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, of course, Cicely Davis here. We are off to a great start this week. So happy to have you join me. Great to be with you. If you are a loyalist, a ride and die, someone who's been with me every week, I appreciate you. Couldn't do this without you. If you're brand new, welcome to the channel. Whether you're new or old, the ask is always the same. Please, please, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get it. Now, before we get started, I need to make a correction on something I said. So in the last episode, when I was talking about the J-Lo segment as I was closing out, I said that I think that divorce is a covenant. Obviously, that was a slip of the tongue. I meant to say that I think that marriage is a covenant. Clearly, marriage is important. I think it's a covenant. I consider it to be very sacred. So I just wanted to correct myself because, you know, when you notice those kind of things, I actually do go over those episodes. It's something that my husband kind of poked at me about, but it's something I noticed right away. So anyhow, let's get into this week's hip hooray. I am super happy. I'm really excited this week. RFK has intelligently and forcefully, I would add, join the Trump Vance team. And as you know, savages, Cicely Davis, yours truly, is only focused on winning. I want to win. I want a victory. I want Donald Trump and J.D. Vance elected in November, taking office in January. That is the only thing I have been focused on. Whatever gets us there, I want that secured so that we can start getting our society back, right? We can start getting things back to the real original definition of American normal. The DNC was a success. I will admit that. The DNC was a success. If you are a Democrat, if I were a Democrat, I think I'd look at the DNC last week and I'd give it a B, right? Democrats really love being lied to. I think that's something that I really feel good. I feel strong. I feel confident in saying that without taking it back. I do really truly believe that Democrats love being lied to. It's obvious. Some of the speeches, Oprah's speech, what was that about? Everyone's kind of scratching their head. What in the heck was she talking about? You know, you had the Obamas, you had the Clintons out there, but you know what? It's all over. Here's the deal, everyone. With the DNC being shot last week, ending on Thursday, of course, obviously, you know, nominating officially Kamala Harris as, you know, the presidential nominee for the Democrat Party and electing or nominating Tim Walz as the VP nominee for the Democrat Party. That was the height. That's as good as it's going to get for them was last Thursday, was DNC week. Now it's time for them to actually start facing questions. Now it's time for them to actually post if they will, and I don't believe they will, but now is the time for them to actually put specific policies on their website. Now it's time for them to get into debates and be able to speak off the cuff and not off a teleprompter, to actually speak to us and tell the American people how and what they will do for us to get us back to normal, you know, to tell us what they really are. Now, like I've already said, Kamala Harris has already shown us who she is, right? There's no guesswork there. There's nothing she can actually do or say that's going to surprise us. But what I need is for independents and those who are still on the fence, who's still on the fence at this time, who don't know actually who they're going to vote for, right? To understand that Kamala is of no substance. Okay. If you're suffering at gas prices, if you're suffering with groceries, if you're suffering with electricity bills, it's because of the person who's running for president right now. It's because of her policies, right? They're running on joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, like Ren and Stimpy, okay? I need you to understand something. There is nothing new here, okay? The policies that you are suffering under is because of Kamala Harris. Nothing was a surprise for us here on the red side. Walz stuck to his notions, his lies, his misleading positions, and Kamala delivered her nothing burger and word salads of positioning, making the attempt to distance herself from Joe Biden and her own policies by way of the economy and crime and healthcare and the southern border. And of course, her followers and the media allowed her to do so. But we will keep the hot glue warm, making sure everyone is reminded that Kamala Harris, Communist Kamala is what I'm calling her, was in support and the tiebreaker for the policy to tax tips on servers across the country. She was against fracking. She was for Medicare for all in her presidential run in 2020. And now, you know, she's switched. She's flip-flopped all over the place like a seal out of water. And she's saying there can be ways to prosecute illegals coming into this country at the border. Now, previously, when Donald Trump was in office, you know, that was something that she actually turned her eyes up against, right? But now all of a sudden, because she knows that this is one of the top issues for Americans, she's now saying there is a way to actually prosecute illegals coming across our southern border. Even though avoided the border and was quoted more than enough times as saying that our border is secure. Our border is secure. Now, the DNC, the sham is over. We shall see what the Kamala Wallace ticket is made of. Now, we all know it's made of hot air and is of no substance whatsoever, but we need the true nature of them both to be revealed during debates and under pressure to actually tout policy and post policy on Kamala's website, like I said. Now, I find it mind-numbing that the DNC puts wild and nasty Bill Clinton on the stand to actually talk about criminality. Let's talk about criminals, and we're going to use Bill Clinton to do that, right? Speaking against Donald Trump. Am I missing something here? And I wanted to literally vomit, throw up on myself, okay? Throw up in my mouth. When Michelle Obama was speaking, well, about anything Michelle Obama has to say makes me want to vomit. But particularly when she spoke about her parents being suspicious of people who took more than they needed, and she was speaking about income equality when she and her former trader of a husband own 3 mega mansions, they own a private jet, they have a helicopter, and they own a yacht. I mean, are people really truly buying this? It's ridiculous. Donald Trump is a successful businessman, because I know that's what people say. Well, Donald Trump has mansions and he has penthouses and he has houses all over the world. Yes, Donald Trump is a proven successful businessman who worked his entire life and puts deals together. He makes purchases. He builds things. He puts his hands in the work. He gets his nails dirty. He brands like crazy. His wealth is reflective of his work. The work he put in, the time, the energy, the business expertise, and the business acumen. The Obamas did what? What did they do? I mean, they got a Netflix deal and some book deals. Where else did their wealth come from? The math just simply doesn't add up for me. Now, I'm all excited, obviously. I get all hot and bothered and, you know, I'm a little bit excited about all this. But listen, folks, as we keep a cool head, as we temper down, listen, for me, this is about the fastest path to 270. Donald Trump, along with J.D. Vance, has reached a broader voter base. That's the threat to the Democrat Party. Don't believe the hype and the lies of the left party. Again, keeping in mind the strategy of 2016, the media participated with Hillary Clinton's campaign to try to convince voting Americans that Hillary was in the lead in all the polls. And we know what the outcome of that election was all about. The facts have not changed. They have not changed. When Kamala Harris became VP, they are hers to acknowledge, okay? These policies are hers to acknowledge and claim, and do not, I implore you, do not allow her to disassociate herself or unassign herself to those policies that cause and or has led to rapid increase in inflation and a rise in chaos around the world, and literally around the world. When Donald Trump was president, we had stability. We had stable prices. We had stable prosperity. We had higher take-home pay for working Americans. And we had peace across the globe. The contrast is glaring and quite remarkable. The simple fact is there are no policies on Harris's website because she doesn't have any. She is unable to speak or articulate any specific policy because she is simply unqualified to be president. She's never had a job. Okay, this woman has never had a job. She has no business acumen. She has no true substance or understanding of what the highest job on the globe requires. The Trump Vance team actually has a vision for bringing down gas, electric, and food costs, making housing more affordable for American citizens. And they have been running on that since day one. Of course, the media has been giving the Harris team a love fest for the last 3-4 weeks. But the unfortunate fact for Kamala Harris is that her record is her record. Our job, it's not just the job of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. You got to get this. It's our job. Okay. We have to join Donald Trump. We have to join J.D. Vance in helping to alert and educate those who still question or don't understand, or the people that don't vote like us, right? Remind them of her record and ask them if they are willing to risk another 4 years of their future with even higher gas and grocery prices, even higher inflation and interest rates. Ask them if they're good with continuing to see men and women's sports. And as the Harris team continues to force the issues of abortion, ask them where that issue ranks in their list of concerns for everyday living and survival. Ask them where, when you wake up in the morning or when you sit down at the kitchen table and it's time to pay bills, how often does abortion cross your mind? Okay, where does that rank in the list of all of the concerns that Americans have right now? And as we have seen, the Harris team, what they have done is copy the policies of Donald Trump, like no taxing tips and the like, and they have specialists. They have specialists on that team who will continue to do just that. They will take those specialists, they will take the policies of Donald Trump. What they'll try to do is repackage it with different words and try to sell it as if it's new and created by them, okay? This is where savage American voters like you and like me, this is where we come in. This is where we need to do our jobs. We need to keep our ears wide open. We need to keep that insight. We need to have a real knowledge and know of the policies, what those policies were, when they were made, by whom, and we need to make sure that Americans remain happy, prosperous, and safe, and remember what it was like living under Donald Trump's presidency from 2016 to 2020, when he was in office, and point out the policy mimic and the theft of the Harris Walz team. She chose Tim Walz for a reason. The Squad, the anti-Semitic wing of the party, has a significant voice and impact in that party, and Kamala is struggling to figure out a way to keep them engaged and keep them happy. Tim Walz has catered to that kind of governance right here in Minnesota, and so Kamala figured she would be, you know what, lazy. She chose Tim Walz because he's made some far left notions already. He's made some advances here in Minnesota. And so she figured this will be a great way to keep that far left wing, the anti-Semitic wing of the Democratic Party, happy. And so Kamala figured she, you know, that's why she bypassed Shapiro of Pennsylvania, right? The Squad were adamantly against him being VP, which, by the way, you couldn't ignore the protesters outside of the convention with flags of Killer Kamala from pro-Palestine disruptors and the chance of for Kamala and Walz to go home. I absolutely was flabbergasted by that. You know, isn't that interesting? You know, when you have the Republican National Convention, what do you get? You get Democrat protesters outside. When you have the Democrat convention, what do you get? Democrat protesters outside. So there's a case, a strong case that can be made for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, during his presidency, translated into peace and prosperity. And under Kamala, there was and still is, there still is chaos and poverty, chaos and lower take-home pay for Americans. It's all about the women on a Democrat side who actually run the party, the feminists, right? You've heard me say that many times. And don't forget the women who actually have Adam's apples and a scrotum, okay? Those women too, they all run the Democrat Party. The weepy-eyed soy boys, the submissive males who support them on the left, that's who's in conjunction to run the Democrat machine. Now, men who want a family, they care and protect their wives, their children, they protect other women. The men who actually fix cars and shoot guns and pump iron to build muscles, right? They wear tool belts, right? And can wire a house are considered toxic, right? Those are toxic men. Toxic masculinity is what they're called. But that is who we have on our side. That's the guy most women want. And now I am throwing my support behind Donald Trump. Speaking of real men, those are the words of RFK. RFK has joined the Trump train, giving his support to Donald Trump and jumping out of his run for the presidency. I am so very excited about this. So, as you know, RFK Jr., the Democrat turned independent presidential candidate, endorsed Donald Trump this past Friday, which is a major development that could shift momentum in the increasingly tight fight for the White House. Now, during a speech in Phoenix, Kennedy said he was suspending his campaign and seeking to remove his name from the ballot in battleground states while keeping his name on the ballot in blue and red states. And here's what he said. My name will remain on the ballot in most states. If you live in a blue state, you can vote for me without harming or helping President Trump or Vice President Harris. In red states, the same will apply. But in about 10 battleground states where my presence would be a spoiler, I'm going to remove my name, and I've already started that process and urge voters not to vote for me. Now, the Trump campaign announced on Thursday that the former president will be joined by a special guest at his rally on Friday. That, of course, turned out to be RFK, who filed paperwork to withdraw his name from the Arizona ballot on Thursday. His campaign also requested to be removed from the ballot in Pennsylvania, which is, of course, another key swing state. You got Pennsylvania, you got Florida. Okay, it's in the bag. On Friday, this was a critical, critical move as Kennedy slammed the Democratic Party, saying he believes he would have won the Democratic primary and the election in an honest system. Now, I don't know that to be true. I really, truly don't think that the Democratic machine would have allowed him, but he would have at least remained an endorser of the Democrat Party. And since they actually shunned him, it turns into our favor. And hey, again, because I'm all about that win and that's all I'm focused on, I will take every percentage vote that I can, right? He added that he is alarmed by the Democratic censorship, accusing the party of preventing him from gaining ballot access. And this was his comment, and I quote, "In the name of saving democracy, the Democratic Party set itself to dismantling it." Now, his running mate, Nicole Shanahan, said earlier this week, right, during this podcast, that their campaign was trying to decide between staying in the race, which potentially would help Kamala Harris, or joining forces with Donald Trump. Now, I can and am admittedly biased, but I do think this was a smart strategic move on Kennedy's behalf, knowing, of course, how the Biden administration, which included Kamala, by the way, worked to keep RFK off the campaign trail. Remember that? They were making sure that they were taking him off the trail. They wouldn't let him become a part of that primary. RFK thinks he would have won. I disagree with that, but it doesn't matter. And that's neither here nor there. They wouldn't provide security for him, right? The Democratic was doing all that they can to keep Joe in and keep RFK out, not providing him with security, like I said, blocking the ballot presence. This is really great for us. And as a result of the media's courtship and praise of Kamala Harris for the last 4 weeks or so, Kennedy suffered a recent drop in the polls, dipping to 5% nationally after spending much of the past year hovering around 10%, according to Real Clear Politics average. The endorsement could shake up the race in multiple ways. Trump has performed better against Harris in polls. That doesn't include Kennedy, and Kennedy's supporters will likely be more open to backing Trump in 2024's race, right, coming up in November. Trump also said he would consider tapping Kennedy for a role in his administration. Now, as reported earlier this week, as indicated by Kennedy, who would be backing Trump, the former president said he would be honored by Kennedy's endorsement. Trump said this, and I quote, "So I've known him for a long time, and as you know, he's a little different kind of guy. Very smart guy, a very good person. If he endorsed me, I would be honored by it. He really has his heart in the right place. He is a respected person. Women love some of his policies, and I guess some people don't like some of his policies." Very well said by Donald Trump. He's so great in front of the camera. I need to get like him. Trump added that he believes Democrats forced Kennedy out of the party's primary because there was a good chance that he would have beat Joe Biden in the primary. Poor Joe. Poor Joe Biden. They dropped that man like a bad habit and didn't look back. I mean, when I take my cute little dog out to do his business, right? He kind of does his business and he does like, he'll look back and kick at it. The Democrats didn't even give him that much dignity. Bye-bye, Joe. Now, at the Trump rally in Arizona on Friday night, RFK explained why he decided to endorse the former president. So after the remarks earlier in the day, he spoke about spending his campaign and being removed from the ballot in swing states because he didn't want to help Kamala Harris by staying in the race. And look at that, folks. This is called fighting to win, okay? This is about strategy. This is about being very strategic. It's about really, truly caring selflessly about the future of America and caring truly about the American people, right? It's also about, I would say, RFK Jr. understands what the Democrat Party used to be because of his famous family, his uncle and his dad. And he knows that the Democrat Party that we see today is not the Democrat Party of his dad and his uncle. The practice still exists. Bless this man. I want that win in November. I'm hungry for it. I know you are too. He said that he got a call from Trump on the night that Trump was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania by a would-be assassin. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Trump gets shot at, right? Gets shot in the head, got shot in the ear, right? And instead of just taking some days off, Trump's out making phone calls, still working for the American people, right? If that's toxic masculinity, give me more of that. Give me a masculine man to run my country. I don't care what they say. Anyhow, RFK said this. We had a very good talk. And then he invited me to come see him the next day. And I went to Minneapolis and saw him. We met again a couple of weeks later in Florida. And we talked. Not about the things that separate us, because we don't agree on everything, but on the values and the issues that bind us together. And one of the issues that he talked about was having safe food and ending the chronic disease epidemic. And I quote, our children are now the unhealthiest, sickest children in the world. Don't you want healthy children? And don't you want the chemicals out of our food? And don't you want the regulatory agencies to be free from corporate corruption? And that's what President Trump told me he wanted. Kennedy said that Trump signaled he wanted to end censorship from the political left in the United States. So you have to get this, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get this. The union of RFK, Democrats, and MAGA Republicans is the actual real threat to the Democratic Party. Hear me out on this. What it truly represents is a return of the normal Democrats. It's returning to political civility, right? It's okay to have a difference of opinion. It's okay to have differences of policy. It's a return of those of the JFK era, you know, who may not see eye to eye with us on everything, but they do care where it matters most for most Americans and their futures, right? Healthcare, economy, safety at the border, and safety from our enemies abroad, education, free speech, supporting our allies, yet holding them accountable, the upholding of the Constitution and law and order. This is what JFK era Democrats actually cared about. This is what the squad, Bernie, Walls, Pelosi, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris don't want. This is symbolic of the return of American societal unity and prosperity. It's about success and safety and exceptionalism, the absolute threat to the far left and our global enemies. This is what they don't want. This is what they're trying to prevent. They are going to lie. They're going to keep on doing what they're doing. And they're going to keep this happening because that's all they have is lies and deceit, communism and fear mongering. And fear mongering has been all that they have been able to wield successfully for so very long. It's been the agenda and practice for at least 60 years from which I can tell, right? I'm not 60, but I know it's been happening at least till then, right? In the 60s, it was oil will be gone in 10 years. In the 70s, it was going to be another ice age in 10 years. It's going to destroy the world. In the 80s, it was acid rain will destroy all the crops in 10 years. In the 90s, it was the ozone layer will destroy the entire world in 10 years. In the 2000s, it was glaciers will all melt and destroy the entire Earth and all of humanity in 10 years. in 2010s, it was the East and West Coast will be underwater and rising sea levels will destroy everyone and everything in 10 years. And nowadays, it's the increase of the heat, right? It's global warming, right? Around the globe that will destroy civilization in 10 years, right? It's that same fear-mongering. Here's the savage truth about all that BS. None of that came true, but it all absolutely resulted in increased taxes every single time. It's not science. It's definitely politics. And it ensures the wealth of the people like the Obamas to have mansions and yachts and then get on a stage and talk about income inequality, without a doubt. You know, folks, I want to address this issue of where I stand on NATO. I thought I was really clear, but I'm willing to readdress it for those who have missed it. And it's really simple. Here it is. There shouldn't be a free lunch for Europe or anybody else for that matter. I'm not sure where the notion came or belief came that America is the police for the world, but it's not. NATO should be a military alliance where France and Germany and the UK, Canada, Italy, Spain, and Turkey, and the others, right? Hungary, Poland, and all the like, should pay their fair share rather than relying on American taxpayers to subsidize their defense so they can have a generous welfare state while American veterans are homeless, sleeping on and under park benches. I think that's ridiculous, and they've served our country, and it's ridiculous to have that happening. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I find it unacceptable. I am interested and believe in NATO, but to the extent that it is a real and beneficial alliance. And the way that we do that is for Europe to pay up, focus, and join us for the real and most significant and pressing foreign policy challenge we've had for nearly a century. And that is what or who? China. It's rebuilding factories. It's bringing more manufacturing jobs back to America and not allowing China to build their middle class on the backs of ours. So if we do that, we will be able to have better options and better stand up to China. This is one of the ways I define American confidence. Please, folks, and this is really important, please hear me on this. Change your language. We've got to change our language. We have to change our insight to that of confidence, right? The DNC is over. That's as good as it's ever going to get. I give them the score of a B. Okay, I understand it was a happy moment for them. I'm going to give them that. But that's as good as it gets for them. The momentum and the success is absolutely on our side. When they say day one, Kamala Harris will work to provide for working class Americans and tackle the food and housing shortages for working class Americans, we need to be savage in those moments to say day one for Kamala Harris began in January of 2021. And this effed up economy is still a result of her doing. Her message, Tim Walz's message, is to forget. Forget when Donald Trump was in office and we had peace around the world and our allies were paying for their fair share and respected us and as an ally and as a nation. Forget that take-home pay was significantly higher for working-class Americans and businesses were confident enough to promote and hire and give bigger wages. Forget that unemployment was the lowest it's ever been for Blacks and Hispanics, ever in history. Forget that we were energy independent and inflation was at 1.2 or 1.4% and gas prices were under $2. Forget that they wanted to defund the police and paid for criminals and posted bail for them to get out of jail, to reoffend again and kill and rape and murder and traffic women and children and drugs at alarming rates. Forget that Kamala Harris paid for criminals and rioters to be bailed out and reoffend and cause chaos, even more so when it started here in Minneapolis. Forget that Walz allowed the third precinct in Minneapolis to burn, which set ablaze the city and emboldened the rest of the chaos around the entire country for the year of 2020. Forget that he made Minnesota a sanctuary state with the most progressive and dangerous policy in the country when it pertains to sexual reassignment and abortion. Forget that Tim Walz lied about his service in the National Guard with stolen valor. Forget that he lied about leading a losing team to victory. He wasn't even the head coach. He lied about that. He wasn't head coach. He was an assistant volunteer coach. Yes, he was a coach, but he wasn't the head coach. Forget that Kamala was the tie-breaking voter for taxes on tips for hardworking Americans who depend on those tips to live. Forget that she was the border czar, yet refused to visit the border and failed miserably at her job, yet continued to say that the border was safe. Forget that she touted and bragged about Bidenomics and flip-flopped on the issues that she was so adamant about that hurt Americans. Now we're supposed to believe that if we give her more power than she had as VP, that she's going to somehow do something different than she's done for the last 3.5 years. Everything that she has done to, not for, the American people has made the affordability issue even worse. Affordability is an issue under this administration, and it will be more of an issue if she's given more power. The anti-Semitic, Jew-hating constituency of that party is salivating and waiting for their opportunity to take over, to have more power. And they will get it if Kamala Harris is successful in November. This is a time to be optimistic. Know who we are, know the issues, have the conversations, keep people mindful through those conversations, through your social media, through volunteerism, and bring as many people with you to vote as possible. Do the early voting, right? Go vote on voting day. We can unite and get real normalcy back in America, but we need Trump in office to lead us in November. Savage truth is the only thing new Kamala and Walz can come up with is a new lie. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.